Hello and welcome to the Yogi Show. My name is Yogi Brian. I'm a co-host on the show along with Pedro Luna. Today's show, we interviewed Ellis Peters. Ellis is a certified life coach who is pursuing graduate education in psychology. He helps people with their mindset and motivation through his psychology education and meditation experience. He's also the host of the podcast Ditching Dogma. I personally found him on TikTok at Spirit of Ellis. He's a great guy. Got to listen to this show. Here we go.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Yogi Show. We are super stoked to have Ellis Anthony Peters on the show. What's up, brother? How are you this evening?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. How are you guys?
Dude, wonderful. Thank you for being here. Brian, what is up? Namaste AF, representing the brand. What's up, man?
What is up, Ellis? How's it going?
Good. In like the routine of life, pretty much. I'm in school right now and I'm also working. So it's just that time, you know, where I'm getting home from class and just kind of chilling out. So,
dude, right in the mix.
Yeah, getting home from class, getting on the Yogi Show. No
getting
big
on the
deal,
Yogi Show,
right?
Man.
And, yeah. And every time I look at your video, Ellis, like I feel like you're going to point at a word. And a word's going to pop up because
right on the screen.
That's really where I found you. I found you on TikTok with your inspirational videos and just, you know, you'll point at a word and it just really hits home with your videos that you make. So really appreciate that and your content that you make.
For real, man. That's good content, man.
It's, at first I really disliked the app. Like, I think I've seen videos about, this exact situation where at first you really dislike the app and then the more and more you use it, you start to like kind of get addicted to it.
Right.
And so my whole thing was like, it's such a new app that there's just not that many accounts that are promoting spirituality and mental health. And so I just started putting stuff up on there and I was like, oh, the pointing to the words is like a very, it works on TikTok. People like pay attention to it more than just listening to someone talk.
No doubt.
It's, you know, it's just like an app where it's a lot of younger kids and it's very, the attention span is very short. So the pointing has been, it's become a skill of mine.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Where are the words at, though?
I know, we got to get our producer to put in some words here. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Throw it in.
It's so good. When Brian had told me, Brian's all about TikTok. He's like a fast starter. He's like all in on TikTok, all in. And he told me about your page. So I was like, all right, let me check it out. Let me check it out. And I was like, yo, this guy's got like some good, Alex got some good content. Obviously he has some history with like what he's talking about, psychotherapy, mental health, like awareness, like divine connection. So give us a little bit of backstory on you, like leading, obviously how you got to TikTok, but like spiritual awakening, coming to, and like, you know, a little bit about your journey, because that's like, people are always so interested. Everyone loves a good story, man.
Yes.
Yeah. So the first kind of opening into having a different perspective on life and kind of sparking my interest into going deeper into understanding these things was, I was like 15 or 16 and it was, you know, just like typical high school experiences where I was, you know, smoking marijuana, experimented with psychedelics. And there was a few experiences on psychedelics that really like allowed me to kind of viscerally feel a different understanding on what reality was. Or just kind of allow me to have the idea for the first time that the way I thought the world was maybe not like this ultimate truth. So that was when I was still in high school. And then when I went to college, I was kind of just, it was kind of a combination of just really having an interest in trying to understand some of these questions I had through this like kind of psychedelic exploration period. And also I was just not happy with like the regular routine of my life. I was just like every college kid, I was, you know, going out on the weekend a lot and, you know, just having fun. And I was like, I can do this all the time. Like, this is awesome. Why would I want to stop just going out and drinking with my friends? And, not that like, I still do that occasionally, but, it got to a point where it's like, this is not getting me to the point in my life that I want to be at. And I have a cousin who is, he's done this like kind of like an ecstatic dance event for a long time. And I talked to him and he was like, just kind of talking to me a little bit about meditation. And he was really into Amma. If you guys know who Amma is, like the, so she's like a really popular Hindu saint, I guess.
Hugging saint?
Hugging saint, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he was telling me a little bit about Amma, and he gave me, he told me about Autobiography of a Yogi. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, all right, might as well start trying meditation out and start reading some of these books. So I was like probably 19 around then. And, the meditation was kind of slow. Like I didn't have many really deep experiences in meditation, right away, but the things I was reading from these spiritual teachers and books were like mind blowing to me, because they were things that I had thought of for a long time, but I was like, I thought no one else had the same ideas as me in some of these areas of life. And so I was just like, I need to read as much as possible from these teachers. And like, I need to figure out what other spiritual teachers are out there. What are they all about? And so I read up until this day, I still read a lot of books about spirituality, but at that beginning, like first 3 or 4 years, I was just reading like nonstop on everything related to Hinduism, Buddhism, even like mystical Christianity. And so at that point, it was pretty much like turning from just an interest to like changing my life.
Yeah.
And like if you saw my like apartment when I was a junior in college, I literally, like, my entire room, I was living with my girlfriend at the time, and so I just changed my entire room to just be a meditation room. So I just had like all these books everywhere, and like a really trippy like Buddha artwork on the wall, and it was just, and then my entire room was just a meditation room.
And sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Can I come there? Can I come hang out of your whole house?
Exactly.
So that was when I was like kind of around 20, 21. I'm 26 right now. And so it really, like, around that time period, my life really changed. And I started to really like prioritize spirituality into my life. And I mean, almost every single day since then, I've meditated every morning. And I around that time too, I was doing some hatha yoga, but it was never like it never got to the point where it was like an addiction type thing where I'm like, I need to do yoga, like hatha yoga. It was, it always had been more of a, what sparked my interest was always like understanding more through meditation. And occasionally, like, I would do some like Kundalini type breathing and stuff. So, that was pretty much how it started and how it kind of really changed my life. And I, at that time, I was living in Chicago, and I was,
all right,
I was working. Yeah. I was working, and I was doing a marketing job, and it was all right. It wasn't that bad, but, I eventually decided to go back to school and study psychology. And cause at some point I was like, I had realized that is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I'm supposed to be helping people. Yeah. I'm supposed to be helping people with understanding, like mental health. And I view spirituality as being related. Like, it's not completely like the same thing, but I think they're like related. So,
no doubt.
I went back to school, and I'm still in school. Like, hopefully in 2 years, I should be a licensed actual therapist.
Awesome.
Congrats, man.
Yeah. And then Then I also got certified as a life coach, which is what I am doing now for a portion of my income.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is kind of, it's similar to therapy, but it's much less focused on the past and kind of uncovering what went on back then. It's much more about mindset now and like goal setting now.
Sure.
And I try to incorporate spirituality into that. But
it's just part of your life, you know, like spirituality is just part of your life. So it's just like, you're going to bring that into all the things that you're doing. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I want to hit back on that point you made about how meditation is like your thing. And it's like, that's what like brings you to that divine place of connection. Mm-hmm. Brian and I have been talking about that, how for me, it was yoga, you know, and then now I'm sitting, but it was always been yoga for me. And so like, it's like the opposite of you, but to the listener out there, that's like, oh, well, I have to do this type of meditation, or I have to do this type of thing because that's what like the book says, or that's what other people are saying. Like the reality is like, you have to do what feels right for you. Yeah. Like that makes you come to that safe place, that grounded place, that connected place. Right. And that's what I'm hearing from you, Alice. Like, that's what, like, you're just being true to yourself and then offering value to like your community and like doing what you're doing, man. You know?
Yeah. With the forms of meditation, it's interesting because I feel a lot of people, like myself included, when I was starting to meditate, I was like, oh my God, like I have to figure out which one is the right one.
Yeah.
And I was like freaking out. I wasn't freaking out, but I was like very committed to, I was doing like Zen type meditation for a while. And then I'd done a chanting type mantra meditation for a while. And yeah, I've kind of realized that you want to have like your, when you're sitting, you don't want to be like going all over the place with different forms of meditation. But like, I think each one has value, and I don't feel that everyone needs to like only do one form of meditation. Like they all have value. And like, I think when you play around with them, you find which one helps you for certain things, which one helps you for other things.
Sure. Exactly that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because just like anything, like for me, just like anything, I have to test something. I have to test it, and I have to give it time to see what it's actually doing for me. You know, like I started my meditation, like really deep down the rabbit hole on meditation last year, like actually a year from now I started. And yeah. I was in the same place. Like I didn't know which meditation to do. There's just so many. I mean, there's so many apps now, and there's like, you can go on YouTube and find so many meditations, and it's like, where do you start? Right. And like, it's very simple. Like to start, you just start, you know, you just sit, close your eyes, lay down, and fucking breathe. You start. But finding like the right meditation, it's like just how you said, Ellis, like play with something or find something, try it out. And then if you don't like it, then try something else out. So yes, yeah. Everybody out there listening, like don't overthink it. Just try it. Meditation, just close your eyes, breathe.
Yeah. And it's funny. I get a lot of messages. I feel like I expect people to have understood how people would respond to this question by now, but I get a lot of questions in my DM saying, I can't meditate. My mind's so crazy. I can't. Right? And I'm like, that's like the most common thing people say about meditation. And I feel like it's the most commonly responded to question. So I always find it funny when people still are asking that. But yeah, what I always say, I'm like, that's why we meditate, is because our brain is crazy. And we realize that when we sit down and meditate. But the whole thing is, you have to just sit down and sit with it and just start. You have
literally
to
just start.
Yeah. And you have to sit with it. And then it's even for myself, like there's times where I'll go 10 minutes into my meditation and I have like a bell that will go off at 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll notice, like, even when the bell goes off that first one, and I'm like, I have not, my mind is not calmed down at all.
Right. Like I haven't done anything. Nothing's happened yet.
My mind's going crazy still. And it's, I think people have this idea that there's people who meditate and there's people who don't. And that's just not the case. Like everyone's brain wants to tell us to get up and do something else when we sit down.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean,
know that firsthand.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, yeah, you get in that space and just like anything, you got to settle. And anybody out there that hasn't started meditation practice, like really just sit there and like, you got to settle. Like it's probably going to take you 1 to 2 minutes for you to just figure out you're sitting the fuck down for a second, you know, it's going to take you some time. And then you just focus on the breath and then like, let the thoughts roll in, roll out. It's, you know, it's really like this morning I did I try and do 20 minutes in the morning, like every morning, like right when I wake up before I look at my phone. Mm-hmm. And like the struggle with me is like with my meditations, like I get ideas. Like I get ideas or like meme ideas. And then I'm like, shit. Like I have this good meme. Like I want to like write it down or like get my phone out and like voice record it. But like, that's the problem too.
Yeah.
It's like, this is just time to sit and like, let it soak. And if I remember it 20 minutes later, I'll write the fucking meme.
Then it was meant, right. Then it was, you know, meant.
Yeah, exactly.
I was doing a home practice the other day, guys. I was in pigeon pose and it was like 5 a.m, a pigeon pose. And all of a sudden like a meme came to me. I made that shit. It was a viral meme. It was like last week. It was fucking viral from pigeon pose at 5 a.m. I swear to God.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I totally have the same thing happening to me. Like I stop mid-meditation to write down ideas for TikTok videos.
Yeah, for TikTok videos? That's, yeah.
Awesome.
Ellis gets it, man. He gets it.
Yeah. But I think it's also interesting that creativity comes out in those moments. Because it always makes me realize, wow, like when you pay attention to what's coming up into your head and you're kind of starting to like slow down those regular like subconscious thought patterns, the more creative ones seem to come up, because it's been like so many times for me I've had really creative ideas come up during meditation.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's amazing. And like, so just as a content maker, like I'm on my phone a lot and I struggle with being on my phone a lot, still do, and it's just like a constant struggle. I was reading a journal from a year ago, journal entry, and I'm like, I'm gonna be off my phone less. And then like this fucking today, I want to be off my phone less. So like, it's a constant struggle. But like what I was learning in my struggle to not be on my phone so much is when I was reading the research on like that idle time, like the idle time with your brain. The idle time with your brain is like taken over by like, oh, let me check my Instagram or let me check my phone. Like when I'm in the elevator, when I'm like doing something, that idle time is taken up by my phone checking things. So I feel busy all the time, stressed all the time. And what I read is your brain needs that idle time. It needs that idle time to kind of zone out and like refocus and like recircuit to find those ideas, to find the inspiration, to figure shit out subconsciously. And that's really like what meditation has really helped, especially in a busy world. Like, you know, at least I don't look at my phone first 30 minutes, an hour in the morning. Like that's been something I've been doing for a year. That's really helped. And I've seen something on your TikTok about that. Like first thing in the morning, like don't look at your phone. You want to elaborate on that, Ellis?
Yeah. So I'm really into the law of attraction and also just the science behind what goes on with our brain and our nervous system when we get into a state of thinking that we're lacking something or we're comparing. And one of my favorite teachers is Joe Dispenza.
Yes.
Oh yeah. We know all about him, man. Yeah,
so but he, like, I like the story he tells about the morning routine most people have and how we quickly get into a state of thinking about what's wrong with us compared to this person on Instagram, what's wrong with the world on because of something on Twitter, what do I have to quickly do because of an email. And when you start your day in that state thinking there's something wrong rather than there's something right, your nervous system pretty much gets into a fight or flight state. And so that alone is like a stressful state. So regardless if you're talking about like the law of attraction or not, like you're operating in a stressful state. So that's just going to lead to like not a very joyful continuation in your day. But with the law of attraction, what I like definitely believe about this is when you start your day like that, you're going to be attracting more stress and more worry into your life. So that's why I think the phone thing is just so easy, such an easy thing to just not do right away. And if you replace it, with meditation or journaling, something that allows you to focus on something positive, or at least like enter into a more positive state of like emotion, then it's just your chance of continuing that throughout your day is so much higher.
Yeah. It sets your day, sets the tone.
Dude,
yeah.
For sure.
Reticular activating system. Like you're just looking, and anybody out there, reticular activating system, like that's your Ellis, can you explain that?
I actually don't know.
You don't know? So reticular activating system is your brain is like, if it focused on every single thing right now, it would fucking explode. Like it's electrical, like it would just like shut down. Like there's too much shit going on in the world. So your reticular activating system like seeks out the things that you're focusing on. So if you set an intention, especially first thing in the morning, you set an intention like, you know, gratitude, or I'm going to do this. Like you're going to seek that. You're going to find that throughout your day. So like when I look at my phone and I see emails and I'm stressed like that, I'm going to find stress. I'm going to find reactivity all throughout my day. So like, that's why I've been like setting a gratitude list in the morning so I can look for that throughout the day, like shit to be grateful for. So, and I just recently learned what that was. I think it was a Tony Robbins priming video. It's like tonyrobbins.com/priming is like one of my go-tos. Like it's amazing. But yeah, it's a cool thing. Anybody listening, check that out.
Dude, thanks for sharing that, Brian. That was awesome, man.
Yeah. It's amazing because that's like one thing that has like really changed my practice lately is that reticular activating system. Because you're going to find everything. Just like if you if you haven't seen like a red truck and then you see a red truck and then you see a fucking red truck everywhere, it's because that reticular activating system's looking for that red truck. So if I seek like, hey, this, like for me lately, I've been saying like, I'm shitty with technology and I just find that everywhere, you know? So it's like,
you find more shit.
I'm more shit technology issues, you know? And I'm trying to change that, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard.
Yeah. Tony Robbins, I remember hearing about that, the priming thing. And I feel like a lot of people, myself included, before I like listened to him deeply, I had definitely some like negative preconceived notions about Tony Robbins, because it's just like this huge like self-help type guru figure that I knew about. But once you listen to him, he is on another level with the way he understands how our minds work. The priming thing and Joe Dispenza's teachings. Also, I'm reading a book right now by a guy named Bruce Lipton.
Oh, I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's amazing. I watch all his YouTube videos. Yeah, love that guy.
Yeah, he's great. So the whole thing that I've really been focused on with their teachings is, in addition to like mindfulness meditation, which is my main practice, is this basically more contemplative meditation every morning where I try to specifically think about whatever, it's different depending on the day, but like whatever I can to generate like a really clear sense of joy and gratitude. And that has been a really like life-changing practice that I've been doing recently. The science behind it is pretty, it's so clear. The power of it and how it actually does change your actual biochemistry.
Yeah, like your genetic, everything's changing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Biochemistry changing.
Yeah. So it's kind of wild to me that not more people are very into trying these things out.
Yeah, they don't know about it, or they don't have access to it, or they think it's like hogwash, or like, you know, like because they don't talk about, there's no talk about it in the media. Like there's no talk about that shit, you know?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. definitely not.
Sure, because the media wants you to buy their shit on advertisements. Yeah. Like that's your meditation right there. Like you're going on your phone and you're seeing an ad and you don't even realize you're seeing the ad, and then you think about it later, like subconsciously, and then you're probably going to buy that shit on Amazon.
Yeah, you're going to go back out on Facebook tomorrow, and then it's going to be in your newsfeed. Yeah. Then you're fucking click to buy, yeah. Add to cart, send about to the it, house.
Boom. Boom. So like being controlled from your environment, from your phone, like we got stuff like right in front of us. I love Bruce Lipton, especially like his thing on in the morning, like right when you wake up, that's when your mind is like in a different brain state. And that's when you can really get suggestions and get your intention in there. Repetition though. Like it has to be like repetition, like in the morning, at night. You can say like, I am peaceful, I am calm, like in the morning and at night right before you go to sleep. And maybe you'll feel good the first day, but shit takes time, everybody. You know, yeah. It takes like 60, patience. 90 days to keep doing it.
Yeah, patience. That's definitely true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. Ellis, I saw a bunch of stuff on your TikTok about self-love. So, and one of them, I don't remember which one it was because you had a few of them, but one of them like super hit me about self-love. And like, so many people out there, I think, they get caught up. I think it was the text one, like the waiting for a text, something like that. Like, you know, that was kind of more of a law of attraction one. That one was really good. Do you remember the one recently about self-love?
I had one, that was basically just tips about self-love, I think. It was kind of, if this is the same one, I was speaking to younger people, but people in general as well, I was kind of saying like, you don't have to be the person that your parents expect you.
That's the one. That's the, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit the listeners with like the context of that, if you remember it, because it was, I think it's right in your wheelhouse what you talk about all the time, because there was so much value in that, you know?
Yeah. Let me pull it up. I got it on my phone.
Yeah. Maybe. Pull that up on the phone, man. That was really good. And I just thought like, man, like, you need to tell more people about that.
Heck yeah. Everybody out there, like go on TikTok.
I need to go on TikTok right now.
Spirit of Ellis. Like you're going to be inspired.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So basically I was saying you're not required to bend over backwards for your family if they don't respect or treat you well. You're not required to live a life everyone understands. It's okay to be single for however long you need. It's okay to leave your hometown. You can even move to another country if you want. And it was kind of just, to me, things that I have learned myself because I've struggled with those things. Mm-hmm. And I've spent a lot of time on my spiritual journey, like naturally just a lot of time kind of like in like isolation and really like thinking about my mindset and my conditioning, like my cultural conditioning. And I realized like, wow, I'm really afraid to let people down. Like I'm afraid to live a life that people don't understand because I'm afraid that I won't get like acceptance from them if I do that. And I realized
been like, there.
Yeah. And so with that one, I realized eventually that ultimately like you have to be okay being yourself. You're never going to get the love you want by just getting acceptance from other people for living a life that they understand, because it's not going to be the love that you're acceptance you're looking for, because you're not being your true self. You're changing yourself to fit into this mold that other people want. And then other things in there, like, what else was I saying? The family one, I have a pretty good family, so it's not specifically about my life, but there's people who some of the things they say to me about what's going on with their family, I'm just like, especially as an adult, if your family is not respecting you, if like you tell them kind of what your boundaries are in life and they think that they can consistently violate those boundaries, and that's taking a huge toll on your like self-worth, your health. You don't have to, like, at some point you have to be okay saying, if you're going to violate these boundaries, and I need to separate, have a little bit more distance in this relationship, because Just because someone's family doesn't mean that they can do whatever they want. They can't just abuse you just because they're a family member. And I think, from, especially on TikTok, there's a lot of like young adults that are in college. And I think a lot of them are still living at home, and they're kind of trying to figure out their own life, but it's just, it's hard because they're still like close with their family. So it is, to me, it's just about that, that post was just about, you need to love yourself. Like, you have to put yourself in a good position. Even if you're a very like concerned and caring person, you care about other people. If you can't respect and love yourself, like, it's just not going to be, it's not worth it.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Not going to work.
You got to set your boundaries. You got to do you.
No,
it reminds me of a story. I'm going to share a story. This reminds me of a story. It's about the monk and the snake.
And I
think I've said it before, but so there's a snake, and the snake is terrorizing the village. He's biting everybody, right? He's biting everybody, terrorizing the village. A Buddhist monk comes into the village and sees the snake, observes the snake, and like approaches the snake and is like, hey, like, let me teach you about nonviolence. Let me teach you about non-harming. And the snake loved it. Like, the snake loved it. And he loved self-improvement. And he loved this non-harming, this non-violence philosophy. So anyways, the monk ends up leaving town, and the snake is non-violent, practicing non-harming. But the villagers see this, and they see this snake is not harming anyone. So they exploit that. They start throwing rocks at the snake. They start, you know, poking him, whatnot. And the snake's miserable. He's chilling, like, all abused. And then the Buddhist monk comes back into town, goes, visits the snake, asks the snake how he's doing. And the snake is like, I'm miserable right now. Like, look at me. Like, you taught me this non-harming stuff. Like, I am miserable. Like, your teachings are not good. And the Buddhist monk's like, ah, you know what? I just want to let you know, you can use your hiss. You can always use your hiss. Mm-hmm. So you can use your hiss. And what that means is, like, you don't have to bite people. You don't have to like go off on people, but you can use that hiss to set your boundaries and be like, no, no, bro, that's not okay. Like,
yeah.
And that's like one of my favorite stories. Like, that really, like, especially with family or friends or just anyone, like, you got to use that hiss sometimes. Like, you got to, you got to set your boundaries.
Coworkers, so, boss, all of it.
Exactly. Exactly. Use your hiss, everybody. That's one of my favorite stories. I saw it on YouTube.
That's a great story, Brian. That's a great story. Told very well and right in alignment with what we're talking about, man.
Yeah, exactly. Especially like parents, family. Like,
yeah.
Stick up for yourself. Use your hiss. You don't have to be mean, you know?
Yeah.
Or just let them know. Like, hey, don't go there. I will bite your ass, though. If you come closer.
Ellis, are your DMs lit on TikTok?
Yeah.
Are people reaching out?
On Instagram, because I was able to just DM me on Instagram.
Oh, got it.
Okay.
TikTok, I also had it where it was only, I didn't realize this was a thing either, but it was only friends, so people I followed.
I saw that. Can you change that setting?
I think you can change it so anyone can DM you.
Okay.
But I just feel like for some reason people aren't like using TikTok for doing that yet. It's not like as much of a thing.
Yeah. No one was making memes about yoga until I came along. And then there's Brian above you talking right now.
Right.
So, you know, like, nobody was using the platform until, you know, whatever. But exactly that. Like, it'll evolve and like people are going to reach out to you because your message is pure, you're authentic, and you have some of super value to share with people, especially of the younger generation that's so caught up in the rat race that there's literally none of that gap of like sitting still or sitting. Like, everything is plugged in all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're able to tap into them. Like, you're like, they're still seeing you and like, cause they're plugged in all the time, but maybe you're going to be able to hold space for them to not do that, you know, and you're sharing an authentic message. And there's no doubt about that, man.
It's pretty crazy. Like, some of the messages I've gotten, like, especially if I get an audio message on Instagram, like, when you actually hear someone's voice, definitely makes it more
personable.
Yeah, it definitely makes it more personal, and it's like, it feels more real. And some of the people, like, it gives me so much inspiration. Like, I'm sure you guys too, with like your yoga content, like when people message you and tell you that like something specific in their life was going wrong and like one post like completely changed their perspective mm-hmm. on thing. It's kind of almost like sometimes I get the feeling that like I don't actually affect people because it's like through an app. So it's not like when you help someone in person, it's clear because you have that like physical connection, but through an app, it's like you have this disconnect, but it's pretty wild. Yeah. Like when I'll get messages from people and they're like, I never thought about that thing that you just posted about. And like, it's like super helpful. It's pretty awesome. Like considering how much like there are downsides to social media, the fact that there are so many people out there that are doing like this type of content is pretty great.
Yeah. And you're helping people, you know, it's like, this, you're doing the point, man, the point video. It's all about, you know, they're so good. You're going to see everybody that's listening right now. You need to go on TikTok, Spirit of Ellis. We're going to plug everything in the show notes on the website, everything, so they be able to know where to find you and, to be able to check it out, man. Cause it's amazing. Like seriously, like good stuff. Yeah. There was one other thing I wanted to hit on this episode of the show was happiness. You know, it's like everyone is like, waiting for happiness to come from something else. You know, like once I get the car, I'll be happy. Once I graduate school, I'll be happy. You know, all of those things. And it's such fucking hogwash, people. Like how to be happy right now with what you got. Like that's where the happiness starts within. And there was a TikTok video that you made, Ellis, about that. And when I watched it, just like a couple of days ago when I watched it, like it was like a hell yes, like hell yes, man. Like that's the answer, dude. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was, I think it's a story from Paramahansa Yogananda. He's like my most inspirational spiritual teacher throughout my life. And so, in one of his books, it's like the essence of self-realization. He talks about our desire for material things basically. And it's a story of this guy, he trains this horse, that he's like a carriage being, horse is pulling him. And he has in front of the horse, he's a stick with a carrot or something. So this horse is always speeding up because it thinks that it's always getting closer and closer to this carrot, but he doesn't know he's pulling the guy the whole time. And Yogananda is explaining that story is, we're like that horse and the carrot is these things that you're just talking about. Like, you know, once I get this degree, once I get this job, once my relationship has this little change in it, then I'll have that carrot. But like, we're never going to get that carrot. Like it's always going to be further, a little bit further away. Once that thing comes, there's a new thing. And, I was thinking about this today while I was driving. I was like, just not able to generate the happiness. And like, that's a thing. It's not easy to just be able to tap into that joy in the present moment where you feel like you don't need anything else. But I do know that it's possible because I the more I've spent on like my spiritual journey, I know that I have gotten there just sitting down and focusing on generating joy and contentment with the present moment. And sometimes I'm just like almost emotional that I completely overlook how okay the present moment is. Because it's, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like we're so blind to it that when like you get a little glimpse of it being okay, you're like, wow, how am I missing this all the time? But yeah, that's to me like the opinion I have on happiness is we can generate it in the moment, but it's like a skill that takes practice. Yes. Some people I think are really natural at it, but especially for people who are very intellectual, who like to really think about things, it's a skill that takes practice, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. practice and just being in the present moment. I remember a teacher told me, like, if you're not happy right now, you're never going to be happy. Yeah. And I was like, I didn't like that at all. But then when I really thought about that, it's like, it's true. Like, this is the fucking present moment right now. You know, like, if I'm not happy here, I'm never going to be happy, because right here is the present moment right here. And yeah. It is a practice, you know, and it's tough. I mean, there's some moments where all you need to do is maybe drink some water or go to sleep, because your body needs that shit. It's done. You know, your mind's done. It's like, go to sleep, Brian. You're in a bad mood because you need sleep, you know? So it's really, you know,
self-awareness
in that present
dude.
Moment and self-awareness. And that's why I personally love meditation. A meditation practice is self-awareness for me and self-study. Like, my yoga practice is therapeutic. Like, my yoga practice is medicine, because I've, especially in my hips, I got like energy I need to like release, and like tension I have in certain parts of my body. Like, that's medicine to me. Whereas like a meditation is like, oh shit, I didn't think of it that way. Or wow, it's more self-reflection, self-study. And I love it. I love it all, man. Mm-hmm. Good shit. Down the rabbit hole. And then I find Ellis.
Then we find Ellis on the TikTok, man. TikToking away, bro. Yeah,
TikTok. And then I went to your Instagram and I saw you were following me on Instagram. Like, no shit. So I followed you on Instagram, and awesome Instagram too. You write a lot of, memes.
Yeah.
Spiritual memes. I like the quotes. I mean, it's just good content. I mean, you're adding value, man, to the community, to people that are seeking something deeper. And you have a gift, man. So share that shit with the world.
You guys too. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, this has been so fun. We're so grateful that you came onto the show. You took some time to be here and dive down the rabbit hole a little bit with us on TikTok and all the fun we've had. We'll make sure to link everything back on our website and the notes below, how to check you out, where to find you on TikTok, Instagram, and such. And we appreciate you taking the time, brother.
Thank you. All right,
guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. Signing off for the evening, my friends. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so much for listening to the Yogi Show podcast. Visit theyogishow.com. We provide the show notes there. We also have a YouTube. You can watch us on YouTube at the Yogi Show podcast. Special thanks to DJ Taz Rashid. He allows us to use his music for the Yogi Show, and it is great music. Great addition to your yoga class playlist, meditation playlist. So we appreciate each and every one of you. And remember, gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. Namaste.